Welcome back, Joan. Nice to have you again here in studio. Like always, a lot of things happening here in the Vatican over the past week. Of course, on last Saturday, we had a meeting between Pope Benedict XVI and the presidents of Argentina and Chile. They were marking the 25th anniversary of the signing of a Vatican-brokered peace accord between those two countries, which were formerly hostile neighbors. And that peace accord was signed on November 29th, 1984, here in the Vatican. And of course, that meeting also followed Pope Benedict's 2007 pastoral visit to Brazil. And we saw that there he called South America the continent of hope and love. Right. And this meeting here in the Vatican this past week was really an example, again, of that continuing hope and love that we're seeing coming out of the Latin American continent.
And actually, that meeting with the two presidents preceded by just a few hours, Vespers for the first Sunday in Advent, and then obviously the Sunday Angelus, in which he again spoke of hope and calling Advent the season of hope.
What can you tell us about
the Beagle Channel?
Exactly, that moment of hostilities between the countries. They were on the brink of war.
Well, they actually were, and the Pope did refer to that in his remarks. And now the Beagle conflict was a border dispute between Chile and Argentina over the possession of three different islands. And the scope of the maritime jurisdiction associated with those islands that brought them, as you said, to the brink of war. And that brink of war really in 1978. Now, the islands are located off the south edge of Tierra del Fuego and in the east end of what's known as the Beagle Channel. In fact, it's called the Beagle Channel dispute. And interestingly enough, the Beagle Channel, the Straits of Magellan, and the Drake Passage are the only three waterways between the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean in the Southern Hemisphere. As you said, of course, this was brokered by the Pope. It was John Paul II, great love for those countries who just could not conceive of them going to war.
Well, of course, and they're predominantly Catholic countries.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. And that is the among the many legacies they share, that certainly of the Catholic faith is a major one. And so when Pope Benedict met with the presidents, he received them separately and then received them together in audience. And just as a little aside, by the way, I learned the other day that, you know, the Secretary of State, as any country that has its protocol office in the Department of State, you really have to look at very specific things when you have visitors. And when you have two heads of state, you know, what do you do for the protocol? One is enough. And who's seated where and who goes first, et cetera, et cetera. Any State Department or Secretariat of State has to look at specific protocol when you have a head of state. Is it a formal official visit? Is it informal? What? And then when you have two heads of state, it's like, oh my word, you know, you don't just go alphabetically necessarily. There's many different protocols. So that was a very interesting challenge for the Secretary of State. But in any event, as I said, the Pope did meet them separately, and then he met them individually and in the Clementine Hall, and there were delegations with the two presidents.
And but you know,
women, by the way, Cristina Kirchner, president of Argentina, and Michelle Bachelet, the president of Chile. And of course, the Pope in his remarks said this was an appropriate and joyful celebration of those intense negotiations, which through pontifical mediation concluded with a dignified, reasonable, and equitable solution, thus avoiding an armed conflict, which was on the point of breaking out between the two peoples. And the Pope called Pope Benedict also called the treaty that was being commemorated. He described it as a shining example of the force of human spirit and of the will for peace against the barbarism and unreason of violence and war. And of course, he with his remarks was urging any countries, any peoples, any nations to resolve disputes peacefully, because obviously violence only and always leads to more violence.
Well, an interesting thing also to just conclude this, you know, the Argentine president de Kirchner and the Chilean president Bachelet, they signed a historic integration agreement just over a month ago. So these relations, this really friendly atmosphere between the two countries is progressing to this day after 25 years. It's interesting because this new agreement that they signed paves the way for a collaboration in a vast range of fields, from social security, economics, mining, culture, the armed forces. They're even constructing two tunnels under the Andes to facilitate road and train communications and trade between their countries. So that's a wonderful example of the positive fruits of that dialogue that Pope John Paul got going.
Well, as a matter of fact, 25 years ago, many other collateral issues were also resolved in the meantime. Obviously, the navigation rights,
sure,
which was a huge matter of discussion. Sovereignty over other islands, maritime boundaries, et cetera, et cetera. So thank the Lord, anyway, for what happened 25 years ago and for the wonderful anniversary celebration. And
we're looking forward now to the birthday of the Christ child at Christmas time. And we saw Pope Benedict ring in the Advent season, didn't we?
Well, and again, in one ceremony and then again Sunday, of course, at the Angelus, he invites us to perceive the presence of God in Advent. He had some really beautiful words to say, both at Vespers, in his homily at Vespers, and then on Sunday. And he said, he talked about Christ coming to visit us, but he talked about how little time we sometimes have for Christ, for God.
Oh, so
and he said, in daily life, we all know the experience of having little time for the Lord and little time for ourselves. He said, we end up becoming absorbed by doing. It is not. Is it not often true that it is activity itself that possesses us? Society with its multiple distractions that monopolizes our attention, and isn't it true? Said the Pope, that we dedicate a lot of time to entertainment and leisure activities, but he talked about this season when we should kind of rein ourselves in from this and give ourselves more time for prayer and for anticipating the birth of our Lord. And I love this. He said. How often does God make us aware of some aspect of his love? And the Pope said, we should, to maintain what we might call an inner diary of this love would be a beautiful and rewarding task in our lives.
Well, yeah,
whoever thinks we
it?
Might keep a regular diary of our
sure.
doing, of our daily activities, of our busyness, but how many of us think of keeping a spiritual diary? Just taking the time out to write spiritually what we've done, what we perceive, what we're doing for Advent. And I know, by the way, Advent is that liturgical season, obviously begins a whole new liturgical year. It's that season in which a lot of people do also what they do during Lent, make extra sacrifices, or if they don't go to daily Mass during the year, they might in Advent. That would be a wonderful season to start that habit.
Sure, it's also a very good idea for children over the Advent season to start a diary like that. I'll suggest that to my kids.
It'd be a wonderful idea. And Sunday, of course, the Pope also, because it was actually Advent, the Pope obviously spoke of Advent as a time of hope, and he spoke of the new liturgical season and so forth. He also, after his remarks referring to Advent, he did mention World AIDS Day, which fell on December 1st. And he said, my thoughts and prayers go to everyone suffering from this disease, especially to children, the poor, and those who are rejected. And he mentioned that the Church, of course, never ceases to strive to combat AIDS through her institutions and personnel dedicated to that task. And he said he trusts that by increasing coordinating efforts, we may manage to halt and eradicate this disease.
And of course, we just saw a new report coming out from the UN saying that there are 33.4 million people infected with the HIV virus worldwide, including 2.1 million children. And of course, the Catholic Church is on the forefront of the front lines of combating that terrible disease, particularly in Africa.
We also saw some
significant improvements in the survival rates of people with AIDS and also transmissions from one person to another in Africa because of some of these programs which are ongoing. So that's at least some good news.
Some good news, right. Good news and bad news, but this time it's the good news of reports like that. So I think that it's kind of important that the Pope on Tuesday celebrated Mass with the 30 members of the International Theological Commission and morning Mass at 7:30, because we know that he doesn't too often. It was in the Pauline Chapel, as I understand it. He doesn't too often have guests at his own private Mass, as John Paul II did. And Pope described the figure of the theologian who does not succumb to the temptation of using the measure of his own intelligence to fathom the mystery of God, a phrase which alone would make you kind of sit back and pause if you are a theologian. And then,
in other words, he's asking us to be humble.
Humble in looking for the truth. He cited Teresa of Lisieux and actually St. Damien de Voister as two people who were humble in their search for the truth and their search for who God was, the essence of God.
Okay, thanks very much.
See you next week then.
Okay, bye-bye. And a warm thanks there to Joan Lewis, the Rome Bureau Chief for EWTN and our resident Vatican Watcher.